Your Bibles, please go to John chapter 3, if you will. The Gospel of John chapter 3. You know, it's thrilling to labor with men of God that you know where they stand. Brother Dan, when he came out here to Colorado to start this ministry, I'm thrilled for a man who has a passion not only for God's people, but also to reach the unsaved for Christ. And I'll tell you the reason why I'm here. I'm an evangelist. The pastor is stationary. Your pastor is here on a week-in and week-out basis. Ephesians 4:11 says that God gave pastors, teachers, and he gave evangelists. Now, what is an evangelist? That's what I am. I'm itinerant. That means I travel from church to church. And all we do, we come in here to aid your pastor. You know, when I'm home in South Carolina, and I've got a lot of work to do, I wait till my son Todd gets home. You know why? We get a lot accomplished together. We really do. You can get so much done when you got someone working with you. In the spiritual realm, you get so much done when you have men of God who labor together. We are co-laborers together. Not thank God for your pastor who realizes the office of an evangelist. We've come here not to entertain you. We've come here to labor with you and trust that God will speak to your lives. This morning, I want to bring a message on something that's very perplexing the lives of many people. It's a phrase found in the Bible that has confused millions upon millions of people. It's a phrase, born again. Many years ago, on national television, there was a senator from West Virginia whose name I will not mention. He was speaking on national television, and he said, "I've been born again. I have been born again. I was born again when I was baptized." My friend, being baptized is not being born again. And yet, so many people think that being born again is something that takes place through baptism or catechism or something else. But that's not the truth. Now, God does not want to leave any one of you in darkness. Because there are two things God will never do to you, sir. Hey, lady, two things God will never do to you. One, God will never confuse you. 1 Corinthians 14:33 says, God is not the author of confusion. So one, God will never confuse you. Number two, God will never lie to you. Titus 1:2 says, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie. So God will never lie to you. He'll never confuse you. And so when we use a phrase, born again, you need to clearly understand from the Bible what that phrase means. So that in mind, look at John chapter 3, please, verses 1 through 4. And share your Bible with those beside you, please. There's a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Our Father, we ask again as we give out the word of God, we may do this under the divine direction of the Spirit, your Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord, that you'd open the eyes of some individual who may not understand what it means to be born again. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. In John chapter 3, we have the account of a man of God, or a man named Nicodemus, who was a very religious man. He was a ruler of the Jews, which means he knew the codes of Judaism. The Bible declares he came to Jesus Christ and said, Rabbi, that means master, we know you're a teacher come from God. No man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. You see, he heard of the miracles of Christ. Jesus opened the eyes of the blind. He caused the lame to walk. He caused the deaf to hear. He raised the dead from the grave. He healed people of leprosy. And this man said, you've got to be from God. These things you're doing, you've got to be from God. And Jesus said to this religious man, verily, which means truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And when Jesus said to this religious man, you must, this matter of being born again, you can't see the kingdom of God, he responded in absolute ignorance and said, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? He absolutely had no concept of what Christ was talking about. Just like today, so many people have no idea what Christ is talking about with this phrase, born again. Now, Jesus was not referring of Nicodemus having another physical birth. No, he was talking about another birth. By the way, I was born physically, that is, I was born in this world September 10th, 19. Okay? That is when I was born in this world. Okay? When I was born in this world, I was born into the Savinsky family. All right? However, as a young man, 17 years of age, I was born again. And when I was born again, I was born into a spiritual family, in the God's family. 1 John 3:2, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. I'm the son of Mike Savinsky physically. I'm the son of the Lord through the new birth by being born again. And my friend, just as I've never doubted my physical birth, and I know specifically I was born September 10th, I was born again, and there's no doubt about it. And my friend, you've got to see the teaching of the Word of God that you can clearly understand the teaching of Christ on the area of the new birth. And to do so, I want to show you what the Son of God, Jesus Christ, meant by the new birth. First of all, Jesus told Nicodemus the must of the new birth. Look at John 3:7. Christ said, marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. Now, look at me, please. Now, if I could talk with you one-on-one right now, I want to make it this personal. Before you leave this earth, sir, or lady, before you leave this earth, you must be born again. You see, if you're just born once, physically, and that's all, then one day you are going to die twice. What on earth are you talking about? You listen, and I'll tell you what I'm talking about. If you're born physically and that's all, you go through life and all you have is a physical birth, then one day you will die physically. Hebrews 9:27 says, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, one day you will face a physical death. Psalm 90:10 says, the days of our years are 70 years. The average lifespan is 70 years of age. If you're living over 70, God's been good to you. But life is short. Life is very brief. However, if all you have is a physical birth, you will die physically, but also you will die spiritually. What's it mean, Jerry? It means you'll be separated from God Almighty and from your loved ones and your friends for all eternity. Listen how the Word of God puts it. Revelation 22:14, the Word of God says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. So, you've got to realize, if you're just born physically, then one day you will face two deaths. You'll face a physical death, and you'll face a spiritual death. However, if you're born twice, you're born physically, which you are. And then one day you're born again. Then all you do is you'll just face one death. You'll face a physical death. Last September 16th, my godly mother in West Virginia was at the point of death. The night before she died, I was by her side. My dear mom looked at me and said, Jerry, there's no fear. There's absolutely no fear. You know why there's no fear? Because my mother was born again. She was ready to meet the Lord. Psalm 119, or Psalm 116, verse 15 says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. So my mother died. She died a physical death, but not a spiritual death. Why? Because the Word of God says when a Christian dies, when a person who's born again dies, he's absent from the body. He is present with the Lord. Just like that. So Jesus told Nicodemus the must of the new birth. Number two, Christ explained to Nicodemus the method or the manner of the new birth. Look at John 3, verse 14, if you will, please. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now look at me. What's this all about? What's this as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up? What's this talking about? Well, in the Old Testament, the children of Israel were God's chosen people. And as God led the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt to the promised land, on their journey to the promised land, the children of Israel began to complain against God. They began to murmur against God. And they became very embittered against the Lord to the extent that the Lord sent snakes, very poisonous snakes, among the children of Israel. And these snakes were striking the children of Israel. And look at me, they were dying by the thousands. And the leaders of the people of Israel, they ran to Moses. Moses was the leader of the children of Israel. They said, Moses, in Numbers 21:7, we have sinned in that we have spoken against the Lord. You see, they recognized their complaining, their murmuring, and their bitterness was against God. And they knew this was a judgment of God. And they said, Moses, we've spoken against the Lord. We've sinned against the Lord. Please go to the Lord and intercede for us that God will stop the plague of the snakes that are killing us by the thousands. So Moses goes to God. And God said, Moses, take the metal brass, shape it in the form of a snake. Put it around a pole. Raise the pole in the air. Tell the people of Israel, when they look to the brazen serpent, the serpent made out of brass, they will be healed immediately. Look at the congregation. Don't ever question whatever God says. God gave that divine prescription. So here's a man. He's walking. All of a sudden, a snake strikes him. He falls at the ground. He's at the point of death. He hears Moses. Moses says, look under the brazen serpent and you shall be healed. And here's a man hardy with enough strength in his body to turn his eyes upward. He looks. He sees the serpent on this pole. And immediately the Word of God says he was healed. Now, question that should arise in your mind. Why did God have the serpents? And why did God have brass? And why did God have the pole? What's the significance of that? First of all, the serpent in the Bible is a symbol of sin. Brass in the Bible is always a symbol of judgments. Why did Jesus use this? Christ said, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Christ was saying this, I will bear the sins of the whole world and my body on the tree. I will be lifted up on the cross. I will take the judgment of the whole world upon myself. And so the serpent's sin, Christ bore our sins in his body. He took our judgment because brass is a symbol of judgment. On the pole, Christ died on the cross. Listen to the Bible. 1 Peter 2:24 says of Christ, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. Hebrews 9:14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who, through the eternal Spirit, offered himself with a spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. You see, the Bible tells you that Christ is the one who died for the sins of the whole world. 1 John 4:10, herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. So, the manner or the method of the new birth is this. Sir, lady, teenager, you cannot look at your baptism horizontally. You can't look at your church membership horizontally. You can't look at your good works horizontally. You can't look at your catechisms and all these things. You've got to look vertically. You've got to look upward. You've got to look to Jesus Christ. The Word of God tells you in John 12:32, Christ said, "And I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me." So you've got to see the manner or the method of the new birth is by turning to Jesus Christ. Third of all, we see that Christ taught the miracle of the new birth. Look at John 3, verse 15. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. You know, it's amazing how you people, look at me, how all of us in this room, how we do everything we can to protect our lives. You know why? Because we enjoy physical life, don't we? That's why you have car insurance. That's why you have hospitalization. For your home, you have fire insurance. Why? Because you love life and you protect yourself with these boundaries. Why? Because you want to take every precaution because you enjoy life and you want to live a long life on this earth, don't you? And that's a wise decision. However, the miracle of the new birth is it gives you eternal life. The miracle of the new birth is you have everlasting life. When I got saved as a teenager, 17 years of age, the man of God who led me to Christ, he said, "Jerry, I want you to read a verse out loud, the first part of it." And I said, "Okay, what is that?" He said, "Why don't you read John 3:36? So would you all look at the first part of John 3:36? He that believeth on the Son, that's Jesus Christ, hath everlasting life. Now look here, please. I'm the son of a coal miner. I did not know the Bible. I did not know Bible terminology. And this man says to me, "Jerry, did you believe on the Son, that's Jesus Christ, tonight?" I said, "Yes, sir, I did." He said, "According to the Bible, then, what kind of life did God give you?" And I said, "Well, right there it says everlasting life." He said, "That's right." He said, "Now, how would you define everlasting life?" And here I am, 17 years of age, did not know the Bible. I looked at this man and I said, well, I guess. Well, does that mean I've got life now forever and forever? As long as I live, I'll never forget this. The tears began to float into the man's face. He said, "Yes, Jerry, that's exactly what it means. You now have life forever and forever." I went home that night, went to bed, and I'll never forget this either. First time in my life, I crossed my hands like this across my chest as a teenager. I lay there in bed, and I thought my heart was going to burst. I said, "I now know I've got everlasting life. I'm going to live forever. I've asked Jesus. I believe on him. He's given me everlasting life." What a thrill. The miracle of the new birth. To know you have everlasting life. Listen, my friend. Throughout the Word of God, this constant emphasis. John 10:28, Christ said, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." This morning, the miracle of the new birth is you can know you have everlasting life. Just as you now know you've got physical life, you could be just as certain you have everlasting life. And that's the miracle of the new birth. But here's a problem. So many people say, how am I born again? How does this all happen? Well, it's you realizing the must of the new earth, that you must be born again. You need to realize the manner or method is through Christ, who bore your sins, faced your judgment in his body on the cross. He arose from the grave. He's a living Savior who can give you eternal life, give you everlasting life. You say, how can that be mine? Well, you've got to ask him. Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For the heart man believeth unto the righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And you've got to ask him. You've got to call on him. That's what prayer is all about. You say, is that simple? Yes, that's simple. That a child could do it. My wife was saved when she was 9 years of age. I was saved at the age of 17. My grandfather from Lithuania, who never spoke a word of English, at the age of 80, some years of age, he received Christ as his Savior. It's thrilling regardless of who you are and your age. You can be born again if you just simply call upon the Lord and you ask him. Let's bow our heads and pray, please. Our dear Father, we thank you for the simplicity of the gospel, that you make it so profoundly easy for anyone to come to Christ. We pray, Lord, that thou would be honored today. Help someone understand how deeply you love them, that you give your Son who died for them, that they could have life everlasting. Now, Lord, we know salvation is of you, and a person has to ask you for it, and you never turn anyone down. And so help those who are fearful and those who are shy and afraid to see, Lord, the day their need of coming to Christ. We pray in Christ's name. With our heads bowed and our eyes are closed, no looking around, I'm going to have them play a song of Just As I Am in a moment. And while they're getting ready to play our song of Just As I Am, I would not embarrass you in my home in South Carolina for my life. I would never embarrass you in my home. My wife Sharon would never embarrass you in our home. Well, why, we'd be kind and gracious to you. Now, I'm not here to embarrass anybody. I'm not here to point you out. And I would not embarrass you in this auditorium either. With heads bowed and eyes closed, can you say, you know, Jerry, one day I recognized it was Christ who bore my sins, faced my judgment on the cross. He shed his blood for my sins. He arose from the grave. I called upon him. I asked him to save me. He has saved me. He's given me everlasting life. I thank God I've been born again. I know I've been born again. Would you raise your hand in the air as a testimony? Right now, just raise your hand in the air, and then you can put it right back down. Okay, God bless you. I didn't look. You didn't? No, I didn't look. You know why? God knows your heart already. I just gave you a chance to be honest. You see, the Lord can't help anyone. Those who are bitten by the poisonous snakes, no one could help them until they listened to the message and responded by doing what God had prescribed. No one can force you to look to Jesus Christ. You must be willingly in your heart say, you know, what that man preached is truth. He preached the Bible. I believe that Christ died for my sins on the cross. I believe that. My grandparents told me about that a long time ago. My mom and dad, they told me about that. I know what he's preaching is truth. And I know I need to be born again. And Jerry, I don't know how to do this, but I'm willing. I want to find out. I really want to know before I leave this earth. I know I must be born again. And I want you to pray for God to give me the help and the courage to come to Christ. I want to indicate that desire. If you do in a moment, I'm going to ask you to quietly raise your hand in the air. No one's looking. No one's going to point you out. And by your raised hand, you're simply saying, would you pray for God to show me how I can come to Christ? As she starts playing our song of Just As I Am, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. If you could not have raised your hand a moment ago, would you raise your hand right now with me? Just raise it high in the air and say, Jerry, I need to be born again. I know it. Would you include me in that prayer? Would you raise your hand right now? Raise it in the air and put it back down. All right, God bless you. I saw your hand, the Lord saw your heart. And that's more important. Anybody else? Say, Jerry, like this person, would you also include me? Then slip your hand in there right now. You want to raise?